God bless you. As we continue, we're doing the series on the prayer, and we're taking it out of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. If you go ahead and turn there, if you have your Bibles, we encourage you to bring your Bibles. You can also, on that Hope Church St. Louis app, see the outline of the notes, where a place for you to fill in the blank and follow that, if that helps you. Different people study and learn and remember differently, so that is also available to you. So in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, we're taking into the context that the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus talked about praying. He didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray, when you fast, when you give. Prayer is an important ingredient for every Christian life. I don't know any person that has ever grown spiritually without having prayer as a part of their life. Oh, I'm spiritually mature, and I walk with God, and I'm anointed, but I never pray. No, prayer is important. Say, prayer is important. God not only knows that prayer is important, he wants you to pray. You were instructed to pray, but he wants to answer your prayers. Amen. He doesn't want you to jump through hoops and be so he can be entertained. No, he gets glory out of answering your prayers. Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 17 and 16. God wants you to pray. He wants to answer your prayers. And so in the process, and I can't speak for you, I know for myself, I have to learn and keep refining on how to pray so that I can pray effectively. James says that the diligent prayer of a righteous man produces much change, one translation. And so God wants us to be able to bring his kingdom, his will, into the situation of our lives and produce change by the power of his word and the power of his spirit. Amen? And so we're looking at this context, and they asked Jesus, how do we pray? And in verse 9, Jesus said, after this manner. So we're drawing from that it's not, I want you to repeat this or recite this prayer, but the reality of this is a pattern, a recipe, if you will, a recipe of allowing your prayers to go higher than they've ever gone before. A recipe to allow your prayers to be more powerful than they've ever been before. A recipe to allow your prayers to get answered more efficiently than they've ever before. A recipe that allows your prayers to do exactly what they're designed to do. And we found out in a quick review, they said, after this manner, pray, our Father which art in heaven. Say with me, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Quick review, you know, we don't start prayers off with a problem. Right. Any prayer that starts with a problem has no power. Right. Any prayer that starts with a problem has no power. We need to start with thanksgiving. We need to start with praise. We need to start with worship, because we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, come on, church. You came through a thunderstorm. I'm going to work you a little bit today, so I need some response. So we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts. We enter his gates with thanksgiving, but I can't be thankful. I have a need. No, that's the best time you need to be thankful. Why should I be thankful? Because he's your Father, the creator of everything, the supplier of all good things. He is not only your God, he is your Father. That is, we take that for granted, but in this time frame, they did not consider God as their Father. Because there's one to say that, oh, I came from them. The other is that I'm an extension of. They got mad when Jesus referred to God as their Father. And Jesus took a little bit farther and said, not only am I the Son of God, he's your Father too. He's your Father too. You're an extension of God. You're an ambassador for Christ on this earth. You are a representation. Jesus said, the way I've been sent, I'm sending you. The works that I do, you can do also. And he said, listen, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We can be a light. We can be a light. Our lives can be a light that demonstrates, that illuminates the goodness of God wherever we are, wherever we go, whoever we talk to. We can be a good report of the goodness of God. Say, I'm a good report of the goodness of God. Come on, shout, I'm a good report of the goodness of God. You want to know where you're at? Listen, let your ears hear what your mouth says. For Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can say, oh, I give God thanks. But if you're not being thankful with your mouth, with your words, you know what it tells me? You're not thankful with your heart. And if your heart's not in it, God don't hear it. If your heart's not in it, God don't hear. It might impress people. It might sound good. You might get people to clap at you. But if your heart's not in it, God told his people, you worship me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. God's not impressed if your heart's not in it. Oh, my heart's in it. Then why are you always negative? For out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, what you feed on grows. What you don't feed on gets weaker. Do you know what that tells me? When all I hear is problem, 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 then all I'm spending my time on is problem, 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 problem. You need to start off with some thanksgiving and praise. You need to get in it until you get in the presence of God and let the presence of God. The presence of God is not there. Listen to me. The presence of God, this is not in the notes, so I haven't even started on the outline yet. We're just hanging out. The presence of God is not there for you to get a goosebump. The presence of God is not there so you can just shout. The presence of God is just not there so you can feel a little bit better. Some people treat God like a drug dealer. I need to get my fix on Sunday so I can do my thing on Monday. No, 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 no. I'll tell you, the presence of God will change you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit is working on the inside of us. Yes. Well, you might feel a goosebump. Praise God. You might want to shout. Then shout. But I want you to know it doesn't start and stop at the experience of your shout or the beginning and end of your goosebump. The Holy Spirit is working on the inside. And when you come into the presence of God, you come out different. You might not see a big difference, but God is working. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working. He's working it all out. He's working. He's working for your behalf. All things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Say, God is a good God. He's working. You get time in God's presence. You begin to spend time thanking God. You're going to feed your heart, your mind, your spirit with the goodness of God and what he's done. And all of a sudden, when the devil tries to poke you with the situation, what comes out of you is not the complaint. What comes out of you is, Father, I thank you that you've already seen this. It's already been answered, and no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against me, I condemn, for this is my right, my heritage, my righteousness is of you, God. What is happening? When the devil poked Jesus, he spoke the word. He didn't discuss. He didn't debate. He didn't rationalize. He didn't say, yeah, I'm hungry, and oh, I wish I could turn that. Oh, I probably can turn that. Oh, I should turn. No, he just began to speak the word. Why do you begin to speak the word when you're hit by the enemy? Because you got the word on the inside of your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy, special, to be worshipped. The names of God in the Old Testament were to describe or define the nature and character of God, because your Heavenly Father wants you to know who he is. He wants you to worship him so that you can. God never, listen to me, God never will ask you to do something for his benefit. He asks you to do something for your benefit. He's all sufficient. If he had a lack, then he wouldn't be all-sufficient. If you could provide something for him, then he's not all-sufficient. He's a good God. So when he asks you to give him praise, it's not because he's got a low self-image that day and is getting nervous and concerned that the angels aren't showing him the responsibility and attention that he deserves, and he's starting to question his own identity and position of authority. No! He wants you to praise him so you begin to understand who he is in your life, and then you begin to understand who you are in this life, and then you begin to understand where the devil is against you, and you begin to say, wait, no weapon formed against me. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, he's your Father. Yes. Spend some time at the beginning of your prayer. Just worship him. Give him thanks. Yes. You don't have to be loud. I'm not a loud person. Then do it softly. Sure. I'm a loud person. Then do it loudly. Right. Whatever your natural stuff, just begin. You might not even feel it. You might not. One of the things that will just blow your mind that I know in my own life, that on those low days, on those overwhelming days, on those days I don't feel spiritual, I don't feel saved, I don't feel like things are working out for my good, I don't feel like God's answering my prayers, I don't feel anything, but I'll choose to walk up and down my hallway, and I'll lift my hands, and I thank you, Father God. I begin to give him thanks, and to begin to give him praise, because men and women of faith are not moved by what they feel, hear, or see. We're moved by the truth of the word. We can rest in the reality of truth, and you begin to go down. Father, I thank you that my son and daughter, that they are healed of the Lord. I thank you, Father, they excel in school. I thank you, Father God, no weapon formed against them will prosper. I thank you, Father God, that the angels of the Lord are surrounding my children today as they go to school. I thank you, Father God, that you'll blind the mind of every bully and every threat. I thank you, Father, every evil device of the enemy has to be canceled out and annihilated today. I thank you, Father God, that every angel that is assigned to them is standing up surrounding them, marshaling at the sphere of their influence. I thank you, Father God, that everything, you begin to give God thanks for who he is and what he's doing. Watch what happens. The atmosphere will change. The atmosphere will change. I don't mean to spend so long on just quick review, but I feel that in my spirit. When, you know, the weather's changing. You know, when it gets hot, you walk in a room and like, man, it is hot in here. You don't sit there and cry about it. You don't sit there and complain about it. What do? You walk over to the thermostat and make a change. What am I telling you? Praise is a thermostat for the atmosphere of your life. You can cry and sit there and complain about no one loves me, they were mean to me, my boss didn't talk to me right, or you can begin to say, thank you, Father God, and get in the presence of God. You turn it, and when you know, I don't know about yours, but when I turn mine on, I have to wait a few seconds. And all of a sudden, I hear it kick in. How many people know what I'm talking about? And then my wife or my daughter might say, Matt, it's hot in here. I said, don't worry, I've already turned the AC on. It's kicking in. It's getting ready to change. People say, man, that was a hard day. Don't worry about it. I've already turned it on, the AC. I've turned on the spiritual AC, and things are about to change. My climate, my environment, my situation can't stay the way it is. Why? Because you have authority. Matthew 18:18. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, which means what you allow will be allowed, and what you do not permit will not be permitted. Somebody give them a praise like you know what I'm talking about. True. Somebody give them a praise like you know it's changing the atmosphere of your world. Our Father which art in heaven. Woo. How long should I stay there, Pastor? Until you hear something kick in. So you then you know things are going in the right direction. Amen. Our Father. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God's kingdom is just not heaven. God's kingdom is his rule, his authority, his way of operation, how he does stuff. Right. In one, we are elevating God. You are number one. We worship you. In the second one, we're repositioning ourselves. You begin to understand, wait, I'm part of the family of God. Right. I'm part of the kingdom of God. Jesus, you're number one. Do you know what people do sometimes? And I know nobody here, but sometimes we don't want to be right with God. We just want God to fix our stuff. And my friend, God, the Bible says, doesn't hear the prayers of the unrighteous. Let me say that again. He does not hear the prayers of the unrighteous. If they're not right, that's why it's so important to understand. And people say, you're righteous. In the old days, we say, oh, I'm not righteous. I'm a sinner saved. No, you are righteous. And it's important to understand that you are righteous. And if you sin, 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins that he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ, which means that you are right standing with God, which means when you pray, you know he hears you. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like that. Can we jump right to, we're getting there. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God is the word of God. If you don't know what the Bible is saying, that you don't know with confidence that what his will is for your life. But when you have the promise, the New Testament promise, the new covenant promise, that you're purchased by the blood of Jesus, the new covenant. And when you understand that, then you can have confidence that it belongs to you. Amen. Moving into verse 11, here's where we're going to hang our hat. Give us this day our daily bread. Say with me, give us. Say, give us this day our daily bread. We're going to use the King James structure. And I'm going to talk about this for a few seconds. Give. The emphasis is give. God is the ultimate source of everything good. Let me say that again. God is the ultimate source of everything good. We have people that get things confused in the church world. God love them. We can pray for them. But they take perspective and they start teaching that God doesn't want you to have good. God doesn't want you to do good. God doesn't want to give you good things. God is jealous of your good stuff. No, God is the ultimate source. Amen. Well, I'm a self-made person. No, you're not. Not if you're a Christian. Yeah, but I made it by business. No, you don't understand. The hand of the Lord was on you for your business. Yes. Right. For God said, after you've built your houses and you see that you're wealthy, don't forget it was me that gave you power to get wealth. Yes. Yes. God is a good God. Yes. The church, it's amazing to me how the world celebrates people doing well, but the church world tends to get this confused. You said, Pastor, money is the root of all evil. No, that's not what the Bible says. That's right. The love of money is the root of all evil. Right. Even in our church world recently, people come out for or against stuff. You know what? At the end of the day, I don't care who's for or against. I want to know what the Bible says.
Right.
It's all about perspective and the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
You could argue all day about how rich God wants you, but I know you are rich because God tells us in Thessalonians, he richly gives you all things to enjoy.
Amen.
So either God is true or he's not.
That's right.
Getting quiet on me. This is not about the American gospel where people think that for you to be anointed, you need to be a millionaire or billionaire. That's foolishness. But I'm telling you that in the world today, if you have a pillow to sleep on last night and more than one pair of shoes to pick from today, you are in the top 8% income bracket of the world. America's a rich country. America's a rich country. Now, you can define what that means, but the word rich doesn't have a dollar amount. God talks about you being all-sufficient and able to not only meet your need, but to meet the needs of other people and be a blessing. Did you hear me? It's getting quiet. Do you know it's not quiet? Because this goes against the grain of some of the stuff we've been taught. In our notes on the app, and it'll be available this week because we have to keep updating with the new next Sunday. But if you go on there, I've included almost 100 verses about God being your source and your supplier.
Yes.
Just spend time reading the Bible.
Right.
About the goodness of God. He's the giver of all good things. He's not stingy. He's not tight.
Right.
He's not the God of just enough.
Right.
He's El Shaddai, the God of more than enough.
Amen.
Paul even told, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory.
Yes.
Adam didn't start off with lack.
Right.
Lack didn't show up until sin.
Right.
And heaven doesn't operate with lack.
Right.
And if you're dealing with lack, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. Just like if you're dealing with sickness, or if you're dealing with a struggling marriage, or if you're dealing with the torment of the enemy, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. What I'm telling you is that your inheritance is greater than what you have, and that's for all of us because we all should be growing. We all should be growing. We all should be growing. Don't let the devil get you to settle into where you're at. My goal is not to get you to reach it today. My goal is to wake you up to the truth, and the truth will set you free. And just like the prodigal son who came to himself and said, wait a minute, my father's servants have more than enough. Why am I sitting here? I'm going to rise up and go back to my father. That's what Isaiah says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory. What does God want you to do? Rise up and come back. And if when you have a mentality that your Heavenly Father is stingy and He doesn't want you to have, you don't have the right perspective. Let me encourage you, back up a few steps, back up a few verses, and start back at the worship phase. Again, to begin to spend out of the Word of God and read the Word of God about the generosity of your Father and give Him thanks and give Him praise and worship Him and stay there and stay there until you become Romans 4, Abraham, who's fully persuaded that the God who made the promise is well able. Well able. Say He's well able. Say He's well able. If you, which are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father, Matthew 7:11, richly gives us all things to enjoy, 1 Timothy 6:17. Say give. Notice it didn't say He sells it. He doesn't sell it. So don't barter with Him in prayer.
Come on.
Well, God, if you do this for me, I will do that for you. I will start obeying. I'll go to church 3 times a month. God, if you, no, you don't need to barter. You can't buy what God has for you. Because the only thing, the price was too high. And the only one that could purchase it is through the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus with the spotless, perfect Lamb of God, the Hebrew is the Pesach. And He took your place, purchased salvation for you. And the word salvation and saved is sozo and soterior in the Greek. And it encompasses all of the covenant. I'm telling you, it belongs to you. You don't have to purchase it. He wants you to have it.
Amen.
We go into the word us. Give us. He wants you to be blessed.
Amen.
James says, chapter 4, verse 2, that we have not because we ask not. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Luke 12, verse 32. God wants you to have what He's purchased for you.
Amen.
Say, God wants me to be blessed.
God wants me to be blessed.
Say, God wants me to be healed. God wants me to be happy. Well, God don't care about your happiness. Then you tell the Bible that. If He cares and sees a bird fall out of the tree, how much more precious are you? See, that doesn't mean, see, you got to understand though, that, and people, they're only on the surface emotion of striving just to be happy, never find happiness. Because true joy, Jesus said, is laying your life down and living for the Lord and for the gospel's sake.
Right.
That's when you find true life. But don't tell me that God doesn't want you to be happy.
Come on.
It's getting quiet. Can you imagine whoever preaches that? I just want to put a 24-hour camera on them, and the next time they go to laugh, go, we're going to go to the ball game. Nope. God don't want you to be happy. I want to buy. Nope. God doesn't want you to be happy. We live our Christian life told by somebody that's not even aligned with the truth of the Word of God, that God doesn't want you to have joy, that God doesn't want you to be. Listen, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. I don't know. That kind of makes me happy.
Yeah.
Have you ever had somebody do something and made you feel loved?
Yeah.
What was the byproduct? You were happy. Have you ever had something happen and just gave you great peace?
Yeah.
Woo! What is that? It made you happy, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day. Give us this day. Say, this day.
This day.
I want you to notice that God's not wanting you to ask for down the road.
Right.
Say, this day. I love it. When you start operating like David with Goliath, he said, this day, God's going to put you into my hands. This day, I'm going to cut your head off. This day, all the nations of the world are going to know that there is a God who does not save by sword and spear, but He saves by the power of His name. This day, say this day. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is... Mark 11:24 says, whatever you ask, believe that you have received it. You want to effectively pray for something that you need? Begin to have the expectation. This day.
Yes.
This day.
Yes.
You spend time in that. You're worshiping God. You're honoring God. You're realigning yourself to the kingdom of God and the word of God. And then you begin to say, Father, your word says, 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed.
Right.
And I thank you, Father God, that sickness. Listen, it doesn't mean, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. It is a fight of faith.
Right. That's right.
The problem is not if you have to fight. The problem is when you embrace. Well, the doctors say there's no hope. Well, fight what the doctors say with the truth of the word of God.
Amen.
Pull out your sword.
Amen.
What if it doesn't work? Listen, listen. Let's look at worst case scenario. What if it doesn't work and you die? Then you die with your boots on. You die with the sword of the spirit in your hand. You die with your shield of faith out. You die with your armor on. And when you die, you'll cross over into eternity, and you can say, Father God, I have fought the fight. I did not quit. I did not bend my knee. I did not give in. I might not have seen the completion of it, but I did not stop. I'm telling you, I think way more important than you just seeing the completion of it, and that's important, is to come to the place of you refuse to give in and settle.
Amen.
I heard somebody say, oh, the allergies, it's allergies. We just got to learn to live with allergies. And I spoke up and said, I don't have to learn. I might be dealing with allergies, but I'm fighting allergies. I'm letting allergy know it has no covenant right in my life. And I'm not going to ever sit back and welcome it into the door of my life and say, come on in, you're part of the family. No, just like if somebody tried to knock on your door or try to crawl through the window, you don't say, well, there's our neighborhood's got thieves. I guess we just got to learn to live with them. No, you can say you might try to come back, but you got to know you're going to have resistance every step of the way. I'm going to fight you every second of the way. And I want you to know when you come in, I've got a sword. I got a shotgun. It's the word of God. Walk in and I'm releasing it on you. Hallelujah. Don't you know a shotgun has the most unique sound? If some bad person ever looks in the window or tries to get close to the door and they hear, you know, they're going to walk away. You don't even need to have a little sticker that says security by yada, yada, yada. You don't have to let them know that you got a security company and cameras and alarm. Some of you don't. You just have the stickers because most people know that that's majority of the security anyway. But that don't make a difference. If they hear, they know that 911 is the backup option. When you pull that sword of the spirit out, the devil knows that you pleading for mercy or calling for help is the backup option. Hallelujah. Listen, the devil's dumb, but he's not stupid. He don't want to mess with you if you learn to fight him. He'll try from time to time just to see if you're going to stand up. But having done all, you're going to do what? Stand your ground. Believe you have received in Mark 11:24. Give us this day our daily bread. Not asking for what belongs to others. You have to get this in your heart from the truth of the promises of God, because the promises of God, the Bible says, are yea and amen. That's a King James translation. It means approved and so be it. So you're not having the mentality of, I'm going to go ask God to do something that I know he doesn't want to do and he might do for other people, but I doubt if he'll do it for me. That's the lie of the devil. You have to come in boldly, the Bible says, boldly into the throne room by the precious blood of Jesus. Boldly cry out, Abba, Father, by the presence and the Spirit of God. Boldly walk in. And when you walk in, you're not asking for something just like the prodigal. He had the wrong motivation, but what did he say? Give me, Father, from my inheritance. Getting quiet. Well, I don't know if we can approach God that way. Didn't Jesus said, in that day you'll ask me nothing, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he'll
do it.
Do you know the only people that are professional or proper with someone are those who don't know them?
Come on.
When a child walks into the room, you might be a CEO of a major billion-dollar company, but when your six-year-old walks in the room, she don't care. She's not impressed by it. She's not intimidated by it. All she knows is your daddy.
Right?
When people get real starchy and straight-laced and super proper and don't act themselves and change their behavior and their tone to approach God, that tells me something. They don't know him as their father. They might know him as creator. They might know about him, but they don't know him. Because to know him, when you know him, you will boldly enter the throne room of grace and you begin to talk to God like he's your daddy God. Abba Father means daddy God. It's not, excuse me, creator, sir, most holy. Could you please, can I have a few seconds? No, you stomp right into the throne room of God and you tell Gabriel, you need to sit a bit. I need to talk to my father. I got some stuff to talk to my daddy about. Hallelujah! Well, I don't want to interrupt God. I don't want to. God's got a lot of stuff to do. You know, your God is so amazing. Let me throw a little deep stuff at you. You got a second? Are we doing okay on time? How are we? Okay, I got a few more minutes. Your God is so, your Heavenly Father is so amazing. He is so good. Jesus said there is none good but one. He is so good. But his nature is so beyond your understanding. Right. You could study him for a million years and still come up with stuff you've never seen.
Right.
Stuff that you never even noticed. Your father has, have you ever been to maybe a play or concert with children? Help us, Jesus. We get to the holidays or Christmas coming, everybody's got to do a little choir. You can watch on YouTube, and their kids will do some crazy stuff, right? And when you sit there and you're watching, you're not focusing in on all the kids.
That's right.
You're focusing in. I mean, parents can get brutal with their cameras. Scoot over, I can't get my child in there. You're focusing in on your child.
Right.
And you're smiling. You're so proud, even if they sing a wrong note, do a crazy dance. Get out of love. You are grinning. You invite people. You love. You are 100% focused on that child.
Right.
Your Heavenly Father loves you so much that he's 100% focused on you.
Amen.
Not to judge you, but to love you. And he has the ability to do it simultaneously with every person that has ever been born without being distracted by the next one. Our brains don't think that way. Our brains don't think. God dimensionally is beyond just the 3 to 4 dimensions that we operate.
Sure is.
We have length, width. We have time. We think we figure God out by just our dimensions. No, God is, through Scripture, God is has more dimensions. I mean, you have to take by faith. The Bible is the only theological book that has birthed a religion or whichever you want to call it, that defines God in terms that you cannot wrap your mind around. Oh, no, it makes sense to me. Oh, really? God has always had God has never had a beginning and never have an end. He has always existed. Wrap your mind around that.
Right.
You can't. We take it by faith. God hears and knows everything. Wrap your mind around that.
Come on.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Even in my own time, this truth came out. Do you know when God speaks? And you see this in Ezekiel, you'll see this in Daniel, and you'll see this in the Gospel of, Revelation by John. That when God would speak, the voice of God is always symbolized by something of magnitude.
Right.
Like thunder, water, like waves of a sea rumbling. And one is by multitude of voices. When God speaks, he speaks, for lack of a better word, in multiplicity. We speak in singularity. I know I'm going to throw this at you, and if you want, just leave it on the back burner. We speak in singularity, which means when you're talking, you can't simultaneously carry on three conversations at one time. Now, you might say you're multitasking, but you're going from here to there, to there, to there, to there, and back. You're like, just a minute, go ahead. Stop it, I said. Just go ahead. Yes, that'll be fine. Quit it, I'm going to spank you. Yeah, I'll take 3 large Cokes. Would you? Back and forth. God simultaneously carries on conversations.
Yes, yes, he does. Yes,
He can. That's why he can talk to you and speak to you and reveal something to you and all simultaneously to people all over the world.
Amen.
His voice is in multiplication, but his focus is always in singularity.
Yes.
Our voice is in singularity. We're limited. And our focus tends to be in multiplicity or multiple. We tend to go all different directions. That's why James said a man who has multiple perspectives as far as keeps wavering is unstable and receives nothing.
That's right.
God doesn't change his plan. God doesn't change his focus. He is an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
Say he's an awesome God.
He's awesome.
For all our sci-fi people, you like that dimensional thought. So. We're not asking God to give us something that doesn't belong to us. We're asking God to give us something that belongs to us by covenant rights.
Amen.
Father, your word says.
Yes.
The word is like a courtroom. The word is the final authority. He watches over, the Bible says, he watches over his word to perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. You know what I think is lost in the church world? People want titles, and they'll put titles on buildings and denominations, and they use that to define the parameters. You know what? What are you? I'm a believer of the word.
Right.
I'm a believer of the word. What does the Bible say?
Right.
And what I don't know, I'm praying that I get to know, that I learn, to keep growing. We believe the supremacy of God's word. He's elevated his word above his name. God's word will go forth. It will not return void. Isaiah 55:11. Heaven and earth will pass away before the word fails. What does the word say? And when you begin to approach God with a promise of his word, Father, your word says, my covenant as your child. Matthew 15:26, that the healing is bread for the children. Most of us miss the mark because in our mind, in our heart, we know God can. We don't know if he wants to because we think it's for somebody else. And I'm telling you, at the cross of Calvary, it's been completed. It's been done. It belongs to you. And it's the desire of your Father to give you the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to give you what belongs to you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in your earth, in your world, in your marriage, in your health, in your finances.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Give us our daily. That's a continuous access. God says, I helped you last month. Don't bother me for three more months. No. Continuous access. It's like Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branch. The branch doesn't have to show up on Monday, every third Monday, to get the resource. No, if it's in the vine. If the vine has it, the branch has it. If the tree trunk has it, as long as those branches stay connected. That's why Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It doesn't mean you can't do anything. You can sin without Jesus. But if you want the life of God, if you want the presence of God, if you want the peace, you got to connect to Jesus. And as long as you're connected to Jesus and his word, because he is the word, John 1:1 and verse 14, as long as you're connected, what is available in Jesus is available to you.
Amen.
What is available in Jesus is available to you.
Amen.
Can you imagine a tree trunk saying, we're kind of short, so every third branch gets something today. Sorry, we gotta manage this out. Nope, if a branch is connected and there's life in the trunk, there's life in the branch.
Amen.
Unless something is breaking the connection. Because the enemy doesn't try to give you something you don't want. He tries to take what you have. John 10:10, the thief. A thief doesn't give you something you don't want. A thief doesn't walk up, God forbid, in a parking lot with a gun and say, here's some dirty trash of my baby's diapers. You better take it. Take it. Take it. We have a perspective that the devil's trying to give you something. He's not trying to give you anything. He's not a giver. He's a taker. He's a thief. What is he trying to do? He's not trying to give you cancer. He's trying to take health and healing out of your body. It's like a rubber band on your arm. I'm going long today, but I'm having too much fun right now, so you just have to deal with it. Leave, come back tomorrow. We still might be here. I don't know. But it's like a rubber band on your arm that breaks the circulation. You don't pray for more blood. You break the band that's holding it. That's why Jesus gives you authority. If it's not flowing into your life, if it's not flowing into your life, begin to pray, God, show me, teach me your will. Show me where the enemy's stealing. Show me where he's trying to restrict what is belongs to me that comes from you. Because if it's in the trunk, it's available to the branch. If it's in the vine, it's available to the branch. If it's in Jesus, are you ready for this? And the Bible tells me that in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yeah. Woo! That means if it's in God, it's available to you. Yeah. I want you to just, so you might be passive and soft-spoken, but I'm telling you, getting the anointing, you'll be to step in. Wait a minute, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are my healer. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Devil, you got to go. Hallelujah. Your lease is up. Your rent is done. You are having to leave. You do not have a right. Begin, resist the devil. It's a covenant, an eternal covenant, a daily covenant. That's not like politics. You know, it don't matter what side or what group you affiliate with in the political world. I think most of them are wrong anyway. But anyway, that's just my opinion. So love me or hate me, don't matter. I still love and pray for you. But in the political world, they'll even joke about it. They'll say the promise. Oh, didn't you promise this? And most politicians say, well, you know, in politics, every promise has to be renewed every day. Which means I promised it to you yesterday, but it don't mean anything today. No wonder we question the truth and validity of God's word when he gives you a promise. We've already been exposed to everybody around us, people of power, people of love that's been close, that promise us one thing and never follows through. God is a follow-through God. And if he promised it, he will do it. If he promised it, he will do it. If he promised, it is in the legal terms, it's called in perpetuity, which means perpetual. That if God's done it, he's still doing it. The Bible says it this way. He's the same. Have you heard this verse? Challenge everything I say with the word of God. Because it's not my ego. It's not, I don't care if you agree or disagree with me. It's the word that makes a difference. And the Bible says, ooh, I love the word. And the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's a God of being in perpetuity, that it's an everlasting covenant he has for you. And if he's healed you before, healing's continually flowing. If he's blessed you before, don't let the devil talk you out of it. David even knew under the old covenant, he did it before. He's going to do it again. The same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who delivers me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. This guy is not in the covenant. This God doesn't have a right. I have a right. Shall I have a right? Shall I have a right? That's why in the church world, too many people are passive. They don't know their rights in God. Give us this day our daily bread, your provision. Let me encourage you. Whatever, and provision can include finances. Right. Provision is anything that meets the need that belongs to you in the covenant.
Amen.
Your provision. If you need life and energy, strength, that's provision.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not.
Yeah.
Anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Provision, 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 provision. Provision. Not the provision of man. Not the provision of your neighbor. Not the provision of your ex-spouse. Not the provision of your parents. Not the provision of your boss. The provision of God.
Amen.
My cup runs over. I challenge you today as you walk out of here, as you begin to pray, don't pray sissy prayers. Don't pray little prayers. Pray kingdom-sized prayers. Be bold in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Pray according to the promise, not according to what you think is possible. Pray kingdom-sized prayer. Jabez prayed, bless me, Lord, 1 Chronicles 4:10. Bless me and enlarge my territory. And the Bible says God answered.
Yeah.
Use me, God, to change a generation. We got too many people looking for the frills and the little stuff that doesn't last. God says, ask me for the nations. God, let my life be such a mark to a generation that when I'm gone, it's still making an impact. Amen. That's seeking first the kingdom of God instead of saying, God, can I buy a new car or not? We make some stuff way too important. And I'm not saying God doesn't want you to have a new car. God likes for you to have a new car, but God doesn't mind you having new stuff. God just doesn't want stuff to have you. Begin to pray big kingdom prayers. Begin to see the bigness of your God. Stress over if you should get a car with 30,000 miles or 100,000 miles. Well, 30,000 is still kind of new. I think I should get it cheaper if I... You don't serve a poor God. You walk out, let God show you what to do. I'm telling you, begin to pray kingdom-size prayers. History will show and talk about people who have done great things in the world of business or careers, but they eliminate, and if you look, dig deep, not always, but many times, if you look, dig deeper, you'll find out they were covenant, tithing, kingdom people. Colgate. Johnson & Johnson, you go through, we know them by companies, you go to the originator and you'll find that they were giving sometimes 90% of their income to the mission field and to the kingdom of God. The world knows them from the business side. I'm going to speak a blessing over your life right now. I decree and declare that as you step in obedience to the word and will of God, that people will know you before you show up by the goodness of God in and upon and through your life. That wherever you go, history will talk about the achievements and the impact that you've made, not for your glory, but for the glory of Jesus. God didn't call you to be overlooked. God didn't call for you to be forgotten. God called you to be a light to those in the room. And then as you keep growing, because we walk things out of levels of faith and development, Jesus now, he told them that they are a light. Later on, he told the disciples, I've called you to be a city on a hill that cannot be ignored. You cannot be ignored. You cannot, I'm telling you, let the wicked cry out. They cannot shut you up. They cannot stop you in the name of Jesus. They cannot ignore you. You are a light in a dark world. Amen. The devil's happy if he can get you fighting with people over something small and insignificant that nobody cares. It won't be remembered. You start. I heard someone say this once and it stuck with me. Big people don't get sidetracked by little people and little problems. Little arguments. Let them argue. You got something bigger to do than that. You're here to do the will of the Father, to put in action the plans of God, to change a generation, to see people get saved, see people experience God like they never experienced, to usher in the kingdom like never before. Are you with me? You're here. I don't care. You don't have to be called into fivefold ministry. You don't have to be a preacher or a teacher or evangelist or apostle or prophet. But you are a child of God.
Amen.
And that's good enough. My God shall meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Pray kingdom-sized prayers. Yes. Amen.
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 Give us this day our daily bread. That's an invitation from Jesus to you to step into the flow of God and begin to experience God. Not what religion teaches us, not what our past has taught us, not what people say that they'll tolerate. Say, I love you, but if this is what throws us off, that's fine. I'll still love you, but I'm moving on with God.
Amen.
Because God's called you to make a difference in your world. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you be so gracious and kind, if you bow your head and close your eyes, with no one looking around, no one moving around, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today? in a way that you know, the way you process, the way you experience, the way you relate, that right in the center of you, the way you understand and look at life, that you know, without a question or shadow or doubt, that Jesus Christ is real and that He is your Lord and Savior. Without that revelation, without that relationship, without that experience, the Christian life can be weird because it's all those things you're to do or not to do, and you can get messed up and caught up in that and have no substance, have no life, have no reality. But when you have the reality, all that stuff flows from the inside. You love people because He first loved you, and the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You help people not because you're trying to impress people. You help people because it's compassion of God on the inside of you. You're generous because God is generous to you, and you're developing the nature of God. You grow in these things. But without a real relationship, it's not good, because then you're overwhelming yourself, and secondly, you're still dealing with the weight of sin and the devil. You can be free from that. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So let's pray this prayer together. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10, it says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does it tell me? A short prayer can have an eternal difference. This is your moment. Wherever you're at, only you and God know where you're at. You can fool everybody, you can play the part, you can do the church thing, and everybody thinks you've got it covered, but right now, it's between you and Jesus, and you know where you're at. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to pray a prayer, and as I lead you in this prayer, if you don't know Him, let it come from your heart. Maybe this is the first time you prayed this prayer, or maybe you've allowed stuff to come between you and God, and you know your heart's not right. This is your moment. This is your moment. Let's pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to You today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I repent of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on a cross for my sins, that He was buried for me, and on the third day, rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask You, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in Your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with You. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite You in to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank You for saving me. Amen. Now look up here. If you prayed that prayer, you say, Pastor, I know that was for other people also, but one thing I know for sure, that prayer was for me. Just so I know who I was praying with, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you at the count of three to lift your hand and look me in the eyes, and when you do, then you can put your hand right back down as we make eye contact, but that way I know who I was praying with. Pastor, that was me. That prayer was for me today. Is that you? At the count of three, I want you to lift your hand and look me in the eyes. One, two, three. Pastor, that was for me. Who was I praying with? I see the hand. God bless you. I see the second, third hand. God bless you. Fourth, fifth, sixth hand in the back. God bless you. Anybody else? And the seventh hand. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Eight. God bless you. Anybody else? Nine. God bless you. Ten. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? 11 and 12. Thank you. 13. God bless you. Anybody else? Come on, let's give him a big hand clap. 14, thank you, thank you. God bless you. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. If you need what you need to do next, let me encourage you a few things real quickly. Number one, get a Bible-based church. If you're in this area, we'd love for you to be part of our family. Number two, get a Bible. Start reading a little bit every day. Don't start at Genesis, start in the Gospel of John. When you start at the beginning like a normal book, by the time you get to the begats, you'll be gone. Start in the Gospel of John. Read a little bit every day. Let God feed you. Grow in this thing. Number three, get a cause. This is so important. Most Christians go to church, but they don't have somebody they're reaching out to or helping. Find, let God use you. You say, I just got saved. I don't know anything. You know more than the person at home that doesn't know Jesus at all. It could be as simple as, let me take you to church. Let me invite you to church. Come to go to church with me. Just like in the disciples said, come and see. That simple invitation allows God to work not only for you and in you, but through you to help other people. That's when you keep growing. Amen? But you can also reach out to us at our information center or by email or website or app. We're always here to help you. Amen, church? I'm not a pastor that controls people. I'm a pastor that I'll love you, I'll pray for you, and I provide a big meal, and then we encourage you to eat and grow and keep doing it for other people. Amen. I'm going to have a couple announcements and gifts we want to give you. Before we do that, let's get ready to receive our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, if you would, please go ahead and take your positions. If you're giving today by cash, credit card, or debit card and need an offering envelope, go ahead and lift your hand as high as you can. We want to thank you for your generosity to God. Jesus talked about giving, sowing. Tithes is the first 10%. I had somebody last week, we talked about money, and they said, thank you, Pastor, for clearing that up. And one person come up to me and said, we heard somebody say that tithing was the old covenant and it doesn't belong in the new covenant, and kind of threw them off. And they prayed coming in the doors last Sunday, God, if tithing's real, make it clear to us. And they came up afterwards and said that was a miracle from God. Tithing's the first 10%. It's just not in the old covenant. It's in every covenant. It's in the Adamic covenant. Look at the tree in the garden. It's in the new covenant. Look at Hebrews 7. Jesus receives the tithe. Above the tithe is an offering. That's responding. How you've been ministered to, God will place something in your heart. We just encourage you to pray and ask God. My prayer is not to manipulate people, but for people to hear from God. And my prayer is, God, speak to the hearts of your people and bless those who obey. Amen. Alms, that's what you give to the poor. People say, I take my tithe and I'm going to feed the poor. That sounds good, but it's unscriptural and you lose the blessing. It sounds super spiritual. Oh, I got my own ministry. We're going to tithe our own ministry. No, that's not how it works. You know, tithe doesn't belong to feeding the poor. That's alms. Come on. And we should do that. Yep. But the reward of that won't even happen. The reward of seed, planting a seed, won't make a difference if you're not in covenant. Right. That's like planting a garden in your neighbor's yard. If you don't own the rights to it, you can't reap from it. Amen. That's just good teaching. We want you to walk this thing out, but I want you to understand, because understanding comes from heaven. Psalms 119, the unfolding of his word brings light. It gives understanding. Amen. And when you know what to do, then you can make the choice. Then it's up to you.
Right.
You make the choice. Amen.
Amen.
And so we want to thank you. You can give by the offering envelope or by technology. You can see there, you can text the word HOPE and the dollar amount to 45888 through PayPal, Planning Center, the Hope Church app, the Cash Me app. We just want you to be blessed. And the process, get last week's message if you missed it, the condition for provision. God doesn't say, pray and I'm going to meet your need. God says, give and it shall be given.
Yes.
And it's not trying to, that's where people get messed up. When you see somebody say, everybody who gives $1,000 will have a miracle in 30 days. That's foolishness, folks.
Right.
You obey God.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yes.
You obey God and watch God do the work.
Amen.
Say, I don't want to give. Then you don't have to give. It's between you and Jesus. You obey God. All right.